Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. This is TalkBack, your opportunity to call in and share your concerns, thoughts, points of view, and questions. That number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Today, an in-depth look, our classroom on the air, at how to stop those vicious cycles of urinary tract infections. New information from Victoria Towles. Then we're going to look at a natural way to help prevent depression. And if you have depression, a substance called SAMI. And this very important nutrient can make a big difference. I'll give you the insights. Research from David Hufnung. Is your doctor the best person to tell you what to do to reduce your risk of stroke or repeat stroke? There was a major study. They're clueless. They don't know what they're doing. Also, from our regular health and nutrition update, what can help prevent age-related macular degeneration? How can we help you deal with that damaged stomach from coffee and other foods? Also, we want to improve your arterial strength and so that it's strong, pliable. I'll tell you what we can do for that and how can we prevent breast cancer. We're also going to lower your blood pressure, especially if you're an African American. And if you're over the age of 60, you better not be sitting a lot. I'll explain why, some new research. As you see, we are the number one health program in the world and have been for 40 years. And we also take on important social issues, environmental issues as well. And I'll get to those a little later on, including an in-depth investigation on America's most dangerous pill. You won't want to miss that as well. But I will be taking your calls throughout the program. Let's begin. You have all heard the idea that an apple is loaded with nutrition, but we're just finding out more and more about the apple's polyphenol abilities. In one study, they looked at aspirin. Now, aspirin is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it kills a lot of people, thousands every year. Unfortunately, when your doctor tells you, but take an aspirin because it can thin your blood and prevent a stroke, that is true. Of course, vitamin E and vitamin C could do that with no harm, but then an aspirin can actually increase your risk of having a heart attack, and you can bleed to death from an aspirin because it can create bleeding ulcers, and that's even from low dose. So in a study, they gave apple polyphenol extracts, and they followed this for a period of time, especially where there was aspirin-induced stomach injury. And what they found was that the apple polyphenols, that's what you get when you eat an apple or juice an apple, reduce microscopic and macroscopic stomach injury by up to 45% compared to the group that didn't receive it. So one more reason why we should be consuming apples. Now, one of the best ways to consume apple is simply to have apple juice, fresh made, cucumber, celery, and green apple, or green apple with watermelon and lemon. Apple, red apple, and cabbage, all those are good for the stomach. By the way, this was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. We all want to protect our vision, and for good reason, because macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma are very, very common epidemic in our society. New research that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition showed that lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and DHA, that's the active fraction in the omega-3 fatty acids, those two working together promotes beneficial changes in the eye, and that can help prevent age-related macular degeneration. Very important. So I'm going to suggest about 1,500 milligrams of the omega-3 fatty acids a day, which will contain the DHA, and 10 to 20 milligrams of lutein a day. That will also help. Pygeum africanum, Pygeum, P-Y-G-E-U-M, Africanum, A-F-R-I-C-A-N-U-M. It can help prevent prostate cancer. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Endocrine, and what they have found is that it's possible to prevent the reoccurrence of prostate cancer through the regular use of a botanical extract. Scientists at the University of Missouri, Columbia, showed that an extract of Pygium africanum is capable of inhibiting growth and inducing cellular suicide in two standard human prostate cancer cell lines in tissue culture. And furthermore, the extract was shown to sharply reduce the incidence of prostate cancer in laboratory mice. So, africanum, make sure that you get it. It's also called the African plum. It's a tree that's been used for the control of benign prostatic hyperplasia in Europe for a long time. Quote, Pygium africanum has a significant role in regulation of prostate cancer and therefore may be a useful supplement for people at high risk of developing prostate cancer. End quote. You get sunburn? Well, all of us who are out in the sun are going to get sunburn at some point. Well, beta-carotene protects against sunburn. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Photochemical Photobiology. And it found that beta-carotene markedly reduces the likelihood of sunburn. So we want to make sure that we can get it every day. And this was a 10-week program, and it made a big difference. I would add vitamin C to that as well, because that also make a difference. Coenzyme Q10 in this study was shown to make an enormous difference in improving endothelial function. Now, you've heard me mention endothelium, the inner lining of our arteries, but it's when that's damaged that your arteries start to clog and you can't get nutrients and blood and oxygen to the cells, and then become stiff and hardened and calcified. Then you end up with arterial sclerosis or atherosclerosis and stroke. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Atherosclerosis, and it showed that coenzyme Q10 was very positive on endothelial function in patients with ischemic left ventricular systolic dysfunction. That's a major cause of heart failure. So my suggestion would be that coenzyme Q10 three times a day, and especially with vitamin C and garlic before you go to bed at night, because it can help protect your heart, keep your blood thinned and oxygenated, so you lessen the likelihood of having a stroke or heart attack while you sleep, where a lot of people have their heart attack and stroke about 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's important. Now also, reduced vitamin D levels could help explain why there's high blood pressure in so many African Americans. This is from the peer-reviewed journal of General Internal Medicine, and it took a look at the amount of vitamin D that was in African Americans and compared them to Caucasians. And they found that they have substantial reduction, and that is one of the things that can help contribute to high blood pressure. That's a big deal. Another thing with high blood, with vitamin D, it can reduce your risk of macular degeneration among women. This is from the Archives of Ophthalmology, showing that high levels of vitamin D could be protective against the development of early age-related macular degeneration. So that was very important. I would suggest, again, anywhere from 3 to 5,000 units of vitamin D a day. I've known for a long time from my own clinical research and counseling that when I speak with people, one of the first things that comes up, if they have memory loss or dementia or Alzheimer's, is that there's an inflammatory response, meaning a person says, I don't know what I've done wrong. I haven't, you know, gone out there drinking or smoking. Well, do you eat toast? Well, yeah, but that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. That's inflammation. How about gluten? Yes. And French fries? and you start looking at all the foods and beverages that people consume, they create inflammation. Now, there's a new study presented at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting, and it showed that there is a substantial increase in inflammatory markers in people who are having problems with memory. In fact, they'll also find that C-reactive protein is elevated. It's easy to get C-reactive protein down, but you got to turn off the inflammation, and you've got to stop all those soft drinks, coffee. That's really inflammatory. One thing you can do that can help reverse inflammation is blueberries. But according to the Journal of Experimental Biology at their annual meeting, blueberries also inhibit fat formation. And this is very important because we're an extremely fat society. Texas Women's University showed in the experiment of how blueberries and the polyphenols in the blueberries help with the tissue culture and can help keep the fat cells from engorging. So you want to lose weight? You don't want to get fat? Blueberries. Too much sitting after the age of 60 can lead to disability. This is Northwestern University. And here's what it says from their Feinberg School of Medicine, published in the Journal of Physical Activity and Health. Quote, too much sitting has been linked to increased risk for health problems such as heart failure and early death. Now, a new study finds older adults who sit too much are more likely to be disabled, regardless of their exercise habits. Quote, sedentary behavior is its own separate risk factor for disability. And that's after examining 2,000 women, 60 and above. Quote, regardless of how much time they spent in moderate physical activity, the more time they spent being sedentary, the more likely they were to be disabled. So, sitting, even if you didn't exercise, you're not going to get the benefit. And also, there's a new exciting study that shows how sleep removes toxic waste from the brain. This is reported by Natural Society. It says, quote, although we don't know exactly why, there's no question that sleep is crucial for brain and overall health. Without proper sleep, the chance of disease and stress increases notably. Now, researchers at the University of Rochester Medical Center have found that sleeping actually helps detoxify the brain, and that helps prevent clues to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Science, and it reveals that your brain has a unique method of removing toxic waste through the what is called the glymphatic system, not lymphatic, glymphatic. And even more interesting, it seems that brain cells shrink by about 60% during sleep. That allows the waste to be removed more easily. Quote, sleep changes the cellular structure of the brain. It appears to be a completely different state. Now, the research looked at something called GLYM, G-L-Y-M-phatic, P-H-A-T-I-C, system of the brain. And they watched the flow of cerebrospinal fluid and found that the cerebrospinal fluid flowed rapidly where unconscious, whether asleep or sedated, and barely moved when the mice were awake. Quote, we were surprised by how little flow there was into the brain when the mice were awake. It suggested the space between brain cells changed greatly between conscious and unconscious states. That means sleep and non-sleep. So one more reason that you need a good night's sleep to allow toxins to be flushed out of the brain. Who knew? Now you do. You've heard me say that I can eat a bowl of garlic, actually a bowl, and do. I don't eat it raw. I like lightly sauteed garlic, and then I generally stuff it into a baked potato. I can take cabbage, and you steam the cabbage leaves. Then you roll the garlic. Well, I actually make a paste. I'll put tahini and garlic together with lemon juice and black pepper, cayenne pepper, Himalayan sea salt, and anise and fennel. Blend it all together and then stuff that into grape leaves. It's great when you're wanting a nice snack and it fills you up. Or you could do a whole, you know, nice little plate presentation, and you can add tofu into that and make a tofu tahini dressing. And you can add a little bit more lemon juice, give it a real tangy quality. In any case, garlic can be consumed in a lot of ways, but most Americans don't consume a lot of garlic. In some people, it's because it gives them bad breath. In other people, because it repeats on them. If you're preparing your garlic correctly, it won't repeat on you. And as long as you're consuming garlic and then having some juice right after it, it's not going to have any effect on you. It'll be gone. Take some mouthwash, clean your tongue. It's cleaning the tongue that gets rid of the garlic smell. In any case, I've told you how, if during all my travels, and they've been extensive, and I'm on and off planes and spending a lot of time in cars driving and filming, that I'm always taking garlic because I know that it can counteract viruses and bacteria. Here's the latest from the University of Copenhagen, and this is a major study. Here's what it says. I'll quote. Garlic contains a substance that is particularly effective in encounters with even the hardiest bacterial strains. Researchers at the University of Copenhagen have proven this. Aggressive multi-resistant infections constitute an increasing health problem all over the world. Bacteria are developing resistance at an alarming pace, so even new pharmaceuticals that can combat this threat are in great demand. Quote, we know that there is a potent chemical compound in garlic plant that neutralizes resistant bacteria by paralyzing their communication system. The substance present in garlic specifically prevents the bacteria from secreting the toxin which destroys white blood cells in the body. White blood cells are indispensable because they play a crucial role in the immune defense system, not only in warding off infection, but in killing bacteria. And that was from the Faculty of Health and Medical Science. So, what's going on here? Well, when bacteria clump together, it's known as biofilm, B-I-O-F-I-O-M, where they surround themselves with a tough film of organic materials. They become resistant to antibiotics. So researchers have been devoting much of their attention to a different type of bacteria, which cause infections in patients with, let's say, chronic leg ulcers, and in the lungs of patients suffering from cystic fibrosis. And now they found that these antibiotics are not working. Well, along comes garlic, and it works. So just remember, garlic is very powerful of helping lower your blood pressure, lowering your cholesterol, and killing a wide spectrum of viruses and bacteria. You start to get sick, make yourself even more garlic. And I'm a big believer, one of the best garlics you can get is elephant garlic. It's very large. And the best way of having it is lightly toasted. Then you mash it into mashed potatoes. Add in your olive oil and your seasonings and some sauteed mushrooms. It's delicious. Hard water's good for you. One of the things I do in our retreats is I encourage people to drink as much water as possible because the water they're drinking is from deep aquifers. This is water that's millions of years old from a Jurassic aquifer. And it's rich, rich, rich in minerals. Sometimes when you're washing, you find that it doesn't feel like you're able to get yourself clean because you feel kind of a little shininess on the skin. Well, that's because of the minerals. If you had water softener, it'd get rid of the minerals, and so you wouldn't feel the same way, but I'd rather have those minerals. Here's the reason why. Drinking water with relatively high concentrations of magnesium protects you against hip fractures. And we know how many people end up with hip fractures. And that's a really serious problem. So drink hard water, mineral water, to protect your hips and to protect your heart. I can remember going into NBC National Studios, the Bob Kane Show, for a national debate with the person who is still out there, you know, protecting major industry and has been an advocate for the major industry and person that seems to have a great deal of disdain against anything that's actually natural. We had a debate, and she said that sugar was great, there weren't any problems, and I presented all these studies showing that sugar was harmful, including its relationship to heart disease, dental caries, obesity, diabetes, and cancer. And when coming out the studio, we went to the elevator together, and I said, I'm happy to give you these studies. You say they don't exist. Well, here they are. And she said, I don't want those. And that was the last time I spoke with her. That was 25 years ago. And still, it's hard to get the message out about sugar because people love it, but they don't like the cardiac risks that come with it and death. Yes. This is a major study, and now we're seeing overwhelming scientific evidence that proves once and for all that sugar consumption leads to heart death. Since the 1980s, the consumption of sugar has been rising steadily, and it's giving us a lot of unnecessary calories. So there is now a study where data was used, 14-year study, researchers look at the amount of added sugar consumed in the American diet. They found that most Americans have been consuming about 10% or more of their calories from added sugar, and 10% of the population have been consuming as much as 25% of their total calories from added sugar. And those who consume 17 to 21% of their calories from added sugar had a 38% increased risk of cardiovascular death compared to those who had only 8%. So, sugar contributes to plaque buildup, and it affects cholesterol. So eat the sugar, and you could end up dead. So that's that. Now, we don't need to have things that are not sweet. They're natural sweeteners that have low glycemic, and you should consume those. One of the things I do in the kitchen is, and I'll be doing that starting next week. And I can't now, but when I get closer to knowing exactly what I'm going to do, I'll put the word out and I'll allow maybe two or three people at a time who want to come by and I'll show them how I make gourmet vegan recipes because I'm working on my next cookbook. And one of the things I do is I'll have about 30 or 40 or 50 different little squeeze bottles. And in those, I put different extracts, I will blend up raspberries, strawberries, oranges with the skin, like blood oranges without the skin. I'll have all these, you know, red pepper. And then as I'm making different dishes, I'll use these. And that's how you really impart flavor and better nutrition and do something that really... It puzzles people at times because they don't know quite what they're tasting. They just like it and say, this tastes really good. How do you make brown rice using extracts of fruit? People never do that. I do it. And I'll show you how. Do a mango red Brazilian rice. And again, you're not using the whole mango. You're using the extract that you peel your mango, then you slice it. Then you put it into a blender, and you put in a little bit of natural vanilla extract with it. And then you blend that up until it's liquefied, and then you strain it. So none of the actual mango goes in, but the juice of the mango, which you've now strained in a strainer, goes in the bottle. And then as you're almost finished, once the rice, the heat is off, and it's starting to steep for about 20 minutes, that's when you put it in. And oh, well, it's so exotic. When people eat it, they go, what is this? I've never tasted anything like that. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to share some of the, I have over 2,000 recipes. I'm going to share some of the ways making dishes so that you can make dishes that are more exciting and interesting to taste instead of just plain rice. For example, I will grate a lemon, I'll juice a lemon, I'll blend the two together, and then I make an extract of that, but I'll put in a little bit of Manuka honey. And then when I make my baked potato, that's what I squirt into the baked potato. And it gives it a whole together different flavor and mouthfeel. And instead of just a baked potato. In any case, you could add more strawberries to your diet. And you should. Organic strawberries, because non-organic are sprayed heavily. Why? Because they can boost your immunity, according to the new research. Now, we know they're packed with phytonutrients. In fact, just one cup of fresh strawberries meets 100% of the average person's need for vitamin C, but it also prevents heart disease. Why? Because the flavonoids and the antioxidants prevent the buildup of bad cholesterol, which can clog your arteries, and it's anti-inflammatory. But it also prevents constipation. People would never imagine that strawberries are good and virtually the same in many respects as fiber. But the body consumes this strawberry fiber in a way that softly cleanses the blood and regulates blood sugar and cleans the intestine and is great for diabetics and it fights cancer. How does it do that? Because strawberries are rich in lutein and the zeaxanthins, which suppress the growth of cancer cells. They boost your memory because the flavonoids enhance memory by stimulating the signaling pathways in the brain. So my suggestion is, for the next month, have one bowl of fresh strawberries every day. And finally, before we take your calls, and I'm going to do that in a moment, and our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I want to mention that I've always seen the benefits of high-dose vitamin C injections. This is the latest from Science Translational Medicine. They found that this is really important work, the cancer-fighting potential of vitamin C. This was done at the University of Kansas. They reported the effects of vitamin C given in high doses intravenously on a group of human subjects and found that it effectively eradicated cancer cells while leaving healthy cells intact. Now, as many of you know, because many of you met him, Linus Pauling was a friend, and he would come by the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was the senior research fellow in anti-aging medicine research. And I had a wall there that people could sit on one side and see the work I was doing every single night. And when I had friends that would come up, they would have a chance to chat with people. And Linus Pauling, on several occasions, was one. He was in a class by himself. And we have known since the early 70s, because of Linus Pauling, who had a background in chemistry, from Oregon State University, that they know that the therapeutic effect of vitamin C in high doses would make an enormous difference in human ovarian cells. That's where that research was done. And then they used it on a group of human subjects. According to the BBC News, the test showed favorable results in all three models as the vitamin C effectively targeted the ovarian cancer cells while avoiding healthy cells. But we saw that, I've seen that, at the Tri-State Healing Center. So many people who had advanced cancer made improvements because of the very high dose vitamin C they were getting. So, that is good news. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a little break and come back. Take some calls. Still want to tell you about halting vicious cycle of urinary tract infections. SAMI for depression. And why you can't trust your doctor to prescribe vitamins. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you. 888-874-4888 is the number to call in. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi, holistic nurse. Hi, Luann. Luann, you're on?
I'm on. Well, Gary, you must have done some kind of lecture because and given out my email address, because I just got a whole bunch of emails about a lecture that you did called The Cure for All Diseases. And I'm just going to read a couple of these, of the feedback. One of the smartest and most passionate men in America. Someone said, always learning something new. Someone else said, Dr. Gary Nall was informative in the area of health and wellness. He was able to share testimonials of his patients' road to recovery. Not only was he inspirational, but he exhibited an impassioned human being, sharing his knowledge and passion for what he believes. Thank you for making it possible for all of us to enjoy. And one of my favorites is, loved it. Dr. Nall does not pull punches. Very informative. And another very interesting one here came from someone who said that one of the most important insights for her as an aging baby boomer was the fact that when we retire, after listening to you, she says, if we retire, we don't have to slow down. We don't have to adapt to, say, what our parents did when they aged. And she felt that there was a whole feeling of hope and a renewed sense of self instead of slowing down with the aging process.
I did this lecture yesterday to a group of individuals who are interested in making positive changes and starting with what is easiest, which in their case was their diet. And they've been to a lot of lectures and they have regular meetings, and I'm always happy to see people willing to be open to changing. But a lot of them were tied into mono diets, like 100% raw food diets. And when I ask them, could you explain to me what happens in the body when you're eating 100% raw, they couldn't. They knew what the sales pitch was, but they didn't know what was happening. And that's if it was something that really helped people, I would advocate it. But it doesn't. And I can't tell you how many people I've counseled who've been on these different diets, including macrobiotic diets, who end up sick, end up unhealthy. Because it's what we don't know about something that can end up hurting us. And that's why I believe in 100% a vitalism diet, a living food diet. And I explain, for example, you wouldn't eat brown rice, you don't eat beans unless you soak them and sprout them, but then some beans are not healthy when you eat them sprouted, and some have trypsin inhibitors and can cause amino acid problems being synthesized. Some people can end up with hyperreactivity. So best to have at least 25% of your diet lightly heated. When you heat something and you do it in a light way, for example, a tomato, if you ate a raw tomato and you lightly sauteed a tomato, you'll get 70% more benefit of lycopene and nutrients in the lightly sauteed tomato than you would in the raw tomato. because there are certain nutrients that are actually liberated in the presence of hydrolysis, which is heat and liquid. So, for example, if you ate raw cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, even cabbage, you will not get the same nutritional benefit if you lightly break down the cell walls, the lignocellulose, allowing the essential phytonutrients to be released. Now, anyone who has tried eating a bunch of broccoli and cauliflower raw knows that generally you get an upset stomach. Now, you could juice it, but you're not going to get very much juice when you juice something like that. But if you steam it and then blanch it, meaning running cold water over it, the steaming does not take away any of the phytonutrients, the chlorophyll, or even the antioxidants. And by then blanching it under cold water, you can then store it and use it in a salad, for example. Having cauliflower and broccoli, asparagus and Brussels sprouts that have been marinated after it's been lightly steamed, blanched in cold water, it makes all the difference in the world. It adds variety. It adds better nutrition. You're getting your cruciferous vegetables, and we all know the science is just enormously abundant that the more cruciferous vegetables that you consume, the less cancer you're likely to get because they're strongly anti-cancer. And also, for example, if someone says, well, I don't like broccoli, or I don't like cauliflower, I don't like asparagus, fine. That's only because you probably haven't tried marinating. If you took something as simple as organic sauerkraut, and you put sauerkraut juice on asparagus or broccoli or cauliflower, mix that with mustard and horseradish, and you make that puree and put it over it, and then the next day put that in your salad, or just eat it as a separate, like a crudités, it's outrageously delicious. And suddenly you develop a whole new taste. Plus you're getting probiotics from the fermentation of the sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's one of the most healing, perfect foods in nature. It's great for ulcers. I was doing some work once with a former city editor of the Journal American. It was a paper right up there with the best of New York papers for decades. And one of the last of its senior editors was a man named Guy Richards. And he was a highly respected, old-fashioned journalist, high-level integrity, smart. And we're sitting one day, and we're going over what happened to the Romanov money. And I spent years on this, and I managed to meet a lot of the royal family of Russia. And I was young. It was the beginning of my career. And I was asked because I knew some people who I had counseled who were in the white, what are called white Russians, meaning they were royalists, and a woman named Kropotkin up in Bedford. And they all were related to the Tsar and the Tsarina. But no one ever accounted for where did their money go, all their holdings. And that, to me, was of an interest because no one had actually filed to get their money. And if someone had really died, we know how greedy people are, and we know how quickly that all descended upon those trusts and those stocks, because at one time the Tsar of Russia was the wealthiest man in the world. Anyhow, without going into any of that any further, and we found out a lot of information because the best lie detector expert in America gave Eugenie Smith, a.k.a. Anastasia, the real Anastasia. There were actually two Anastasias because the Tsar had a mistress and also had a daughter. In any case, and proved that when she said that she was the daughter of the Tsar and how they escaped. I'll deal with this because I think it's a fascinating topic on another program because it requires a whole program. But anyhow, he and I worked for years on this. And he had ulcers, bleeding ulcers, and it was killing him. So one day, I said, when we came to meet, I brought him a gallon of raw cabbage juice. And I said, drink this 3 times a day. Within 1 week, all the bleeding had stopped. Within 3 weeks, his ulcers were healed. And he said, man, This made a believer out of me, who would have thought that cabbage juice was actually raw cabbage juice. And it's raw cabbage they make sauerkraut from, and it's probiotic when you have sauerkraut. Very good for you. And they can also do it with low sodium, so you don't have to worry about the high sodium. But it can heal a lot of the problems in your stomach and your intestine, especially if you've had serious problems, Helicobacter, E. pylori. That's just a little aside there. Anyhow, so I was discussing this all yesterday about challenge, deconstruct your diets, deconstruct your health plans, deconstruct the information your doctors have given you when it comes to your vitamins, and then see whether or not it makes sense. For example, Luann, there is a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And what they did is they gave a study to 3,600 adults through 56 university hospitals, community hospitals, and they asked what happens to a person's risk of developing a second stroke when they're on a high-dose vitamin supplement program or a low dose. Now, what do you think the low dose of vitamin B6 was?
Can't imagine.
200 micrograms.
Oh, jeez.
That's 1/5 of a milligram. And the folic acid was 20 micrograms. And the B12 was 6 micrograms. And, of course, gee whiz, you know, they didn't see any difference. And when you look at how much a person should have, you're looking, and the high dose was only 400 micrograms of B12 and 25 milligrams of B6. And when I'm helping a person reduce their homocysteine level, which is really serious because you start getting a homocysteine level of 13 or 11 even, you can run a 300% risk of a heart attack. And yet they thought that 15 was normal, 0 to 15. It's not. You got to get it down into the 5 or 6 before you're really healthy. But you sometimes have to take 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day of vitamin B6 and 5 or 6 milligrams a day of folic acid, and 1 to 2 milligrams a day of methylated B12, and about 7 to 10,000 milligrams of trimethylglycine. Then you can bring it down. If you're using these doses, there's no way in the world you could bring it down. So here was this big study that they said, well, you know, we couldn't really reduce the risk of stroke, so I guess it all doesn't work. No, what doesn't work is your brain, because you weren't taught in nutrition. You have no knowledge in nutritional biochemistry. You have no patients that you're seeing that you're helping with strictly with nutrition. If you did, then you wouldn't be giving this kind of nonsense. You wouldn't give anyone such a low dosage who's had a stroke and is at risk of having another one. So you have to deconstruct your lifestyle and ask, what in my lifestyle could be contributing to disease? What in my lifestyle could be contributing to wellness? Here's the result. Even yesterday, because I didn't see a single healthy person in the entire crowd. A person will do tokenism. They'll do a couple of things that are healthy. They'll have more salads. They'll have more organic vegetables. They'll have some grains or brown rice. Let me tell you, that's not going to do diddly squat. I've come to this awareness. The average person will never change. And in part, they're hardwired not to make major changes. So if they've been doing the wrong thing, there's almost no likelihood they're going to do the right thing the way it should be. They will take tiny little steps, and they'll be encouraged that doing anything is better than doing nothing. It's not true. Have you ever seen cancer reversed, end-stage cancer, when someone was doing a little bit of several things? Luann?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you?
No.
No. Have you ever seen someone who was an alcoholic and who had destroyed their liver rejuvenate that liver, which can be rejuvenated by, you know, just stopping alcohol?
Well, no. You need a lot more than that.
That's correct. That's the point. You can't reverse lung cancer by stopping smoking. And yet we are so misguided in the information from the medical community. And they're so ultra-fascistic conservative in the information they give, and they're completely clueless and dumb as a brick in this area. They are. I mean, if you were to get hit in the head by a Mack truck, you'd have more common sense than the average physician when it comes to supplementation.
So what they don't know anything about supplementation.
But their arrogance doesn't allow them to acknowledge what they don't know. Instead, they go arrogantly, you don't need this stuff, it only creates expensive urine. No, we've reversed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and tens of millions of people's disease, and you can't show me where you've done diddly squat for anybody. But that doesn't matter. They're in power, and whoever's in power rules. We only accept one truth in our life. And I said this to people yesterday. I said, it wouldn't matter what I tell you. And I gave an example of how when you, Marie McGovern, and Jonathan Ortega and his parents came down to the scientific conference in Washington, where there were about 7,000 scientists, and I was one of the keynote presenters, and instead of presenting the topic at hand, I brought you out on stage, and you had a chance to talk about your own improvements, and afterwards, about 500 or 600 scientists swarmed out to see what this was all about in the hallway. Not one single person followed up. Not one. The fear of knowing, according to Fritz Perl, the father of Gestalt psychology, is a fear of doing. And we are so enculturated and indoctrinated into one belief only. So whatever dominates in our belief, that's it. Everything else, no matter how true it may be or important for us, we must reject. And so at the end of the day, I told this group, it's not a heart attack or stroke. It's not bankruptcy or divorce. It is not the aging of your skin or your brain that's the problem. It's your belief system. Because behind every one of these is the quality of your beliefs. Good quality belief system, then things go well. Bad, it doesn't. So what we do what I call the spastic two-step. We will take two steps in the direction of doing something right, but we hold on to everything else that we're not going to change. And we expect something to happen. And that's why we had Oprah Winfrey and people like her. And all the other people are hybrids off that. She was the progenitor. Take people who are really not going to change, but want someone to tell them that it's possible, and bring in all these miracle cures or The Secret and all these other authors, exploit it completely, but then don't pay attention to how few people actually use it in a constructive way. And let people think that they're going to be helped, but without trying to make any major changes. And it doesn't happen. There is a reality, and it's the quantum change. When you're willing to change things in a quantum level, then you'll see the major improvements. And that I have seen throughout my entire life, when people really commit themselves to the full change. Just like I was going to talk, and I will in a moment, how many times do we tell people if they're depressed, instead of looking at why they may be depressed, what's going on in their life? What's happened? Is there a loss? Is there a fear of loss? Did someone die? Did something die? Did a pet die? You know, are they lonely? Legitimate reasons for people for feeling in a blue mood. We've always had these throughout history. Go back and read Cicero, and you'll see that he had problems with his children. Just like a person today. So we should not pathologize everything that goes wrong in our life. Instead, we should try to understand it and walk in the direction of this. Instead, we give it a label, we give it a code number, and we give it a diagnosis and a pill. And then you look at the consequences of all this, but we don't look at the consequences of anything we do ever. It's only when something completely crashes and burns, so it's a complete failure by any measure, and then we say, well, what about all the people who saw what the likelihood was and said, don't do this, it's going to go bad, and we don't want to pay attention. That's the problem with the belief system. So when Sammy was this very powerful type of methylated methionine was brought over from Europe, it was known to help people with major depression, and far better than any of the major drugs that were not in the United States. In fact, researchers at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital were giving 800 milligrams of SAMI twice a day and looking at the results. And relative to the placebo, the groups who received SAMI showed a 105% higher response rate and 121% higher remission rate. And yet, Do you see that anywhere? Do you see the fact that Sammy worked better than the medication? No, you don't. And it was even published in the American Journal of Psychiatry, how you could help people with depression with Sammy. But Sammy can't be patented, and it's easy on the body. It's a naturally occurring molecule. It's found in all of our living cells. It supports a host of chemical functions in the normal brain activity. It acts by several distinct and independent mechanisms to target multiple sites and actions in brain cells that produce depression, and it helps you. It's great. But also, it benefits the brain, the liver, and the joints. Even reverses degenerative conditions like osteoarthritis, neurodegenerative conditions, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. But are we giving it? No, we're not. And we won't. One of the reasons we're not telling everyone to take a glass of unsweetened organic cranberry juice every day to get rid of the microbial problems in the bladder that's causing millions of people to suffer from urinary tract infections. 100,000 hospitalizations last year, cost almost $2 billion. 7 to 10 million people suffer from it. And yet, something as simple as hibiscus flower extract directly interferes with the bacterial attachment inside the bladder, and it has antibacterial action against microorganisms that cause urinary tract infection. It also suppresses the fungus responsible for the common yeast infections, candida. Something as simple as natural compounds in hibiscus, well documented, and yet we're not even at hibiscus, and we're only barely getting to cranberries. And the average woman who has urinary tract infections has 8 infections a year. If they took 200 milligrams of hibiscus per day, they could reduce their risk of urinary tract infection substantially. And I would take either 1,000 milligrams of cranberry extract, or I would take 1 8-ounce glass of cranberry juice per day. So, but is that being advocated? Nope, but you'll get an antibiotic that's advocated. And that kills off the good bacteria, proliferates the bad bacteria, and that's where we end up in a mess we have. So anyhow, it was a fun lecture yesterday, and I'm glad to see people responded. You know, so that was good. I didn't know. So thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Let's say hello now to, who do we have? Lisa from Maryland. Hi, Lisa. Your turn. You're on the air, Lisa.
I have a back problem, and my doctor said I need to go swimming, but I know the water has a lot of chlorine, and I would just wonder if you have any advice as far as help with it, like something I can put on my skin, or what should I do? I'm just afraid of too much chlorine.
Okay,
water.
It's not the skin that you have to be concerned about. There's three things why I never suggest people swim in a public pool. One, because nobody washes themselves, or I wouldn't say nobody, but there's no requirement for people to wash themselves before they go in, and as a result, fecal matter is going to come out, float in the water, and you're going to drink it. All right? So that is a definite negative. Number two is you're breathing in chlorine, and in public pools they put even more chlorine in the water, and that's extremely damaging to the lungs and to the brain. It's a toxin to the blood. And three, you could end up with any sore that you might have. That sore on a person could have athlete's feet, they could have candida, and that, because the aqueous medium, can get into the water. So my suggestion is, don't use that. You know, if you can afford it, get yourself your own small. It's one of these wave pools where you get in, you swim against a current that, you know, is very strong, and it's a phenomenal workout. If you can't afford that, then I would suggest doing power biking, or some form of light or gentle on the joints and the knees aerobic activity. Okay, all the best to you. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for taking your time and and all the people who are listening, share the information. Go to our website, GaryNull.com, and download any of the material, the documentaries, the articles. We're now putting one brand new original investigative reporting article per week up on our website. I want to thank the nearly 300,000 people who came last week to download the articles. Have a nice day, everyone.
I sacrificed for you, dedicate my life.